it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Things are wild in our YouTube chat right now. SportsVids412 says a man is drunk at 9:30 a.m. heckling in a sports radio chat. Can't make this bleep up. And then Hugh Hoob says, you're sober sitting in a sports chat. What's worse? And this happens every time we start talking brawl. Then the Penn State fans enter, and then the West Virginia fans and the Pitt fans gang up on the Penn State fans, yep. And all hell breaks loose.
Yep.
So that's what's going on in the YouTube chat, which is good for Austin because Austin's wildly popular, a tremendous young man, lovely human being, but he is not very popular in the YouTube chat.
Never popular in the YouTube chat,
you
except
might
with a couple people.
You might be bottom of the power rankings in the YouTube chat, Austin. I hope you know this. Don't pay attention to the haters. But today you're coming off scot-free because everyone's just getting at each other's throats. All right, let's talk a little positives from the Steelers' victory over the New York Jets.
Tied for first with Minnesota. They had 17 interceptions. Fake the handoff. Rodgers under a rush. Wide open. Touchdown. Calvin Austin. Aaron Rodgers comes back to Jersey.
So here's a few. I thought Arthur Smith called as good a game as he's called. And did they find a solution at the wide receiver two spot? Doug, don't laugh at me, Dorn.
I'd totally agree with you. I said that earlier. I think Arthur Smith, his game plan, because not taking away from the two touchdown throws, but they were completely wide open. So that's schematic besting of the D coordinator right there.
Three of them from play action.
Yes. I think even without the running game, to be able to still be able to have some guys open and scheme those guys open, I thought it was a very good game. I think Rodgers elevated that offense. He was the offense because of the lack of running game and lack of protection to be able to get the ball out, make the decisions quick. Who was making the calls? I don't care if it was a check by Rodgers, if it was Arthur Smith calling it, because they definitely came up with the game plan together. So that, to me, is just when you talk about one, you're talking about the other when you're talking about play call. So I love that. And in the end, not flinching, being down, not playing well, and still coming up with big plays to win the game. That goes into coaching and the belief the team has in what Mike Tomlin is laying down in team meetings and in practice and team building.
You think Calvin Austin, though, is that number two? Like, you think they don't have to worry about that? Like, he's in place to be that guy after his performance?
We talked about this. I think it is going to be a combination, and it's going to be game time specific about who it is. But to me, the number two is going to be determined by Aaron Rodgers. And when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers to his level, just like Tom Brady, besides Randy Moss, did they ever have – they had a number one, but did they have another number two? I mean, you had Gronk and maybe – what was it? Aaron Hernandez?
Yep.
Those were two. But those were, I mean, were they dynamic number wide receiver number twos?
Mm-mm.
No, they were slots. Amendola, Welker, all that. But they never had a dynamic
Branch.
Branch. Yes. The number two is going to be elevated by Aaron Rodgers, being able to get in the right plays and putting the ball in positions where you have to make the play. But more importantly, you can make a play after the catch.
Mike Tomlin talked in both press conferences since the win on Sunday about not being able to protect long enough in the play-action situations, which was obvious. But Rodgers still goes 8 out of 10 for 71 yards and 3 touchdowns on play-action. So I looked this up. 28% of Rodgers' pass attempts the last 5 years were play-action. It was 33% in this game, so higher than it's been the last half decade. And they probably didn't call as much of it as they would have liked to because they were trying to take some shots on early downs, and they probably punted on a little bit of that game plan because of how poor the pass protection was. I think Aaron Rodgers has always been historically good in play action. I think if they could protect a little bit longer, big if, I think you're going to see a ton of play action this year.
The only thing that was interesting, the stat was 13 out of 19 design runs to the running backs were out of the gun. So if you do start doing that under center, then that helps with the play action even more and helps with protection. So I'm assuming this next game, you're going to see a lot of runs from under center, which will help, again, help that offensive line.
I mean, so you're talking about 10 play action attempts, and they called a few more where there were sacks on. And, man, so they ran the ball a ton out of the shotgun.
Right. So I mean, that loses the luster.
Yes.
Under center.
That's what I was trying to say is, like, once there's a bigger body of work here, if you're going to continue to do it that way, it's going to be a pretty obvious tell for the and something that you're going to need to figure out in self-scouting then.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yeah. I don't think – so Roman Wilson played, what, 10 snaps?
Yep.
And to your point, Doug, I think it's a game in, game out when you're going to utilize a guy like that. And I think there might be a game or two where you look at him and say, okay, he was the second wide receiver.
Yep. Again, when you talk about someone like Aaron Rodgers, the mental aspect of the game, he 99% of the time, unless he's under pressure, is going to know where to go with the ball before the snap.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, all right, this guy's going to be open. I see this guy's going to be open. And if not, I know where my second option is. I'm just going to hit that right there. And I just hope that he doesn't get frustrated with the lack of protection. And I bet you he's going into Arthur Smith this week and saying, okay, we were running out of shotgun. That's a telltale sign. Let's start running out of under center. And guess what? Put Hayward in there. Let's run some old school I. Let's do some Central Michigan stuff. How about that triple I at Central Michigan?
I know.
Throw that in there once in a while. And then with Mount Washington, Hayward, and then guess what? Then you can motion them out. And then you have linebackers on those two guys. So there's a lot of things that hopefully we'll start seeing. And this is just the beginning of that offense.
Doug, if you wouldn't mind, I don't want any references to MAC football programs on the program this week. If we could just
Why not?
Why not?
Ohio.
Yeah.
And Ohio.
I tell you this much. Sorry to jump in.
No, please.
One of my best vacations was to Athens.
Greece.
But Athens, Ohio. That's a pretty good place to go, too.
Better party school than West Virginia.
A better party school than West Virginia.
Yes, it is.
Like, you at least had that going for you, but nope. You played the wrong party school.
Look at all national rankings. Athens, Ohio's continually best Morgantown for best party schools.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.